Hello.
Hello.
It's Roy's quartet. He's the leader, but we're all invited to participate equally in it. But Roy's the leader, clearly, and you know, we have, in this particular project, some compositions from Albert Eiler, but we all are invited to bring whatever we can, because this is 2008, not 1970 when Albert died, so the music has to be different. We don't want to imitate Albert. We try to find the spirit and the story about his life and his music and bring it to today. So we might play some of Albert's compositions, or we might put them all together, or we might not play any of them at all. We'll know when we go on stage.
I don't think it's my band. I think it's just a collective band. I mean, we used to play in New York before, and a couple of years ago, Gerard Torres, who has March Records, he wanted me and Joe to record some Albert Eiler music. Albert's music had the beginnings of jazz, and then at the same time, what was new, they were doing like frequencies and harmonic sounds that was very extended from what ordinary people were doing. But yet, if you listen to people like Illinois' Jack Pett and other R&B saxophonists of the 40s and 50s, they used to play, you know, traditional blues and rock and roll, but you would hear some of those altissimo tunes sometime when they played too. And Albert just had a way of combining all of that. I mean, he had a background of being in the church, so it was a gospel and a rock and roll, and blues, and traditional jazz playing in a new kind of way, and also some very new stuff. And when I first heard his brother playing trumpet, I never heard another trumpet player playing like that. I mean, I used to listen to Lee Morgan and Miles Davis and, you know, all the great cats, man, because I have a sizable record collection. I mean, I saw Miles Davis when I was like maybe 13, 14 years old in the mid-60s, and I love Miles, and I met Lee Morgan when I was 15, and Blue Mitchell, Woody Shaw, and Donald Eiler was playing something to me completely different. I'm
My father was a trumpet player. So when I was 8 years old, he came and sat me in a chair like this one day with his music, and he said, his trumpet, and he let me try. And he said, I think now it's time for you to learn some music, you know, because I was playing in the street with my friends, playing basketball or something. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to play with my friends. But he taught me how to play the trumpet. And for many years, I only played the trumpet. I played in the army band in Würzburg, Germany for a few years. And then while I was in the army, I was hearing about Albert Ayler and Don Cherry and people like that. So I went to look for the music. And when I came home from the army, I found a recording of Bells. And I was in a record shop, and over my shoulder was a man who said, do you like that music? And I said, I don't know, I didn't hear it, but it looks interesting. And it was Donald Ayler. And he gave me a note. He said, we're having a rehearsal. He said, I'm a trumpet player. And I said, I'm a trumpet player too. He said, why don't you come to our rehearsal? And his brother was there and so on. But I had to catch a train to go home, so I didn't go. So I never met Albert Ayler, really. I met Donald, but I never met Albert. But his music has always excited me, and you know, the sound of it, the, you know, the change in the direction of the jazz at that time interested me. We have played with this quartet over the last, I'd say, almost 8 years, I guess, in different contexts, not particularly with this Albert Ayler project, but with other projects with Roy. And this idea of the Albert Ayler tribute, I believe, is Roy's idea. Yeah. William Parker, I've known William Parker for a very long time. And in fact, William and his wife are responsible largely for my playing in New York City. You know, there was one other person, a man named John Zved, who was a writer. But William and his wife have a festival in New York called the Vision Festival. And it's probably one of the most important jazz festivals featuring new creative music in the United States. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jazz is about change. It's about discovery. It's music that's always reflective of the people who created it, and it's about the future. I think the music is always evolving, it's growing. So there's some people who get stuck in the music of the 50s and bebop and so on, but the music has moved, and it's still moving, and it's influenced by many things. When I wanted to play the saxophone, it seemed to me at that time that the real innovators in the music were the saxophone players, John Coltrane, Ornette, Eric Dolphy, and a whole number of people. They were making all the real radical changes. For one thing, physically, the trumpet is very difficult to play because the sound comes from your lips, and the saxophone comes from the vibration of the reed. You can change the reed, but you can't change the lips. And I think it's very hard. I think Roy is a fantastic trumpet player. You know, he's got a lot of endurance, and he's a real inspiration for me.
I just play music. I don't like to categorize the music I play. I mean, that's for critics and record companies and promoters and producers. I always said, if you had a bookcase, would you like the knowledge of one shelf of the books or all the books on in the bookcase, you know? I mean, to me, music is either good or bad, like Duke Ellington said. You have good music and bad music, you know? I mean, I played rock and roll, I played with Latin bands, I played I played in rock and roll bands, and I played with reggae bands and ska bands and African bands, and to me, music is music. Thank you.
látta, de 10 méter magasan a levegőben egy drótkötélen biztosító kötél nélkül. Nigel Kennedy, a punk hegedű virtuóz fenegyerek és a népköltészet egy speciális ága, a foci népköltészet. Kultúrház a fővárosi nagycirkuszból, én leszek a levegőben és vasárnap 5-kor várom Önöket.
Hogy vagy képes a szemembe nézni? Te, ki férjem gyilkosa vagy.
Mindez nevetséges hazugság.
Miért nem mondtad el nekem?
Nem gondolta meg magát?
Nem.
Armand, nem tett ellene semmit, megesküdött.
A gyilkosság szemtanúját otthonában holtan találta.
Több hibát nem követek el, Viktor.
Hát én sem.
Elég! Armand, ezt apámért kapod.
Elizadi Rivombróza. Ma 18 óra 30 perckor az M1-en.
Hölgyeim és uraim, ma este a Csináljuk a Fesztivált selejtezőjének utolsó részével érkezünk. Mi itt leszünk, bízunk benne, hogy Önök is, és a dalok biztos.
Volt egy sétapálfár, és négy vidám.
Húszal ezelőtt érkeztem,
soha se mond.
Szerelem utolsó véri,
ami Amerika néz.
Ennél többet már nem tudunk hozzátenni. Jönnek vagy nem jönnek? Jönnek.
Új szocialista pártelnök, új kormányfőjelölt, új kormányprogramtervezet. Persze csak akkor, ha bejön a papírforma. És ha bejön, akkor a legfontosabb kérdés, hogy mit hoznak és legfőképpen mit visznek a megszorítások. Mit váltanak ki a politikában, gazdaságban és az emberekben? Szólás szabadsága, mindenről, amit tudunk és amit tudni szeretnénk. Ma este.
Közvetlen azután, hogy az FBI-be beléptem, kiképzést kaptam kémkedési munkában, szabotázs munkában.
Akiért a Szent Koronát kérték cserébe, ő volt Robert Vogeler, egy amerikai mérnöküzletember, aki 1949 végén New Yorki otthona helyett az Andrássy út 60-ba került. Csak 1951-ben szabadult, hogy hogyan, az mindjárt kiderül ma este itt a Múltkorban.
Az igazán nagy sikert még nem szerezte meg a magyar labdarúgó válogatott, de már az is siker, hogy van lehetőségünk a kiharcolására. A Sporthétben elsőként a Kuman csapat győztes VB-selejtezőjéről ejtünk szót, hogy aztán egy szomorú témával, ifjabb Bocskai Gábor halálával, és ezzel kapcsolatban a magyar sportegészségügy helyzetével foglalkozzunk. Vendégünk lesz dr. Papp Lajos szívsebész, szót ejtünk a sportolók lehetőségeiről, felidézünk néhány tragikus esetet, és pozitív példát mutatva bemutatjuk dr. Pavlik Gábort, aki egész életében a sportolók egészségéért dolgozott.